We always count it a pleasure and a privilege to gather with you, so welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, and indeed, we've gathered for the purpose of hearing from the Lord. We hope that you have already experienced His touch as we have this time of worship. There's more time of worship coming in a while. But right now, we've come to that time where we're just going to look to God's Word together. So welcome, and let's dig into the Bible. We're traveling through the Gospel of Matthew, that first book of the New Testament. So turn to Matthew. We're in chapter 11 this week, Matthew chapter 11. If you're in need of a Bible this morning, raise your hand. The ushers have come down to make sure you have one, and be glad to pass it over to you. It's yours to keep if you need it. But let's all make sure we get out our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, reminding ourselves, of course, that in this first book of the New Testament, in this Gospel of Matthew, the whole focus is the fact that the King has come, the Messiah has come. And the book of Matthew began by showing us the person of the King, namely Jesus. And then we saw the principles of the kingdom. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Important and awesome words and calling for us. Then after that, we saw Jesus begin to move out and demonstrate power. We saw the power of the King as He touched and healed and ministered to many. But we get to this point now and we recognize that He's beginning to experience opposition. He's beginning to experience rejection. And so He has some important words for them and for us this morning. Now, to bring us right up to speed and to set the context, I want to begin by just asking you to kind of picture something, if you would. I want us to begin by asking you to begin picturing a person who's standing here before you. Just imagine this person standing here and their arms are extended outward like this. Now, as you picture that scene, I want you to picture now a heavy object being placed in that person's arms. However they're getting there, it doesn't matter, but that object is being placed upon their arms. Picture a big heavy block, maybe just a big heavy concrete block or something. And it's being placed now upon the person's arms. And at first, the person can handle it with minor effort. It's heavy, but they've got it under control. But as the load begins to increase, as more and more blocks are placed in this person's arms, it begins to get heavier and heavier, of course. But still, more weight gets piled upon them. And now the pain is increasing as the person is trying to hold all of these heavy bricks. The arms are shaking from exertion. It's too much. But you sit and you watch in interest. What's going to happen? Soon, though, your interest becomes concern. So you call out to the person, "Set your load down." "I can't," comes the cry. "Some of these are needed things. Others are things that I don't know how to lay down. I must carry them. They're my lot in life." And so you move closer to see just what are these things that this person is trying to carry. You get closer and you notice these bricks have labels on them. You begin to read what each of these bricks represent. And as you do, you see that some of them are labeled the cares of this world. You move around the person, you see that some of the bricks are labeled worry over bills. Another brick is labeled fear of failure. Another one, fear of rejection. Another one is labeled doubts. You move on to other bricks. They're labeled guilt, unforgiveness, sin, prejudice. You move to the other arm, for there's still more labels on this big pile of bricks. You see a label called legalism, another one called formal religion, another labeled the expectations of others. You see that some are simply the bricks that life has given this person, bricks that life gives many of us. You see a brick labeled the hurt of a child's rebellion. One labeled a failed marriage. One labeled the loss of a loved one. It's too much. This person isn't going to make it. if they keep trying to carry this. They weren't designed to carry that kind of load. And you see that he or she will miss out on so much. Life isn't designed to be lived like this, you think. And so you go over and you get in front of this person to plead for them to deal with all this load that they're trying to carry. You look in the person's face, and now the greatest shock of all. For you see, for some here this morning, it isn't some other person that you're looking into the face of. It's you. You are carrying what God never intended you to carry. And you're weary, and you're burdened, and you need rest. Real rest for your soul. Verse 25, Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For whatever reason you came here today, God knows you inside out. And so I'd ask you to be open, have prepared hearts. Are you carrying something or some things that you were never designed to? This morning, it's my privilege to simply hold before each of us an awesome invitation. I've called our time together this morning. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you who know us inside out, you who sent your Son to die for our sins, not to end things, but to begin a work. And in this place of fellowship with you, you call out, let it go. Cast it upon me. You call upon us to not carry the burden that so many do. Lord, you know the one that is weary of soul right now. You know those who are struggling. They're just plain tired, bone tired, mentally tired, physically tired, but most of all, soul tired. And how loving and how awesome for you stand here and you speak right to that need. Come to me. Speak to hearts, I ask, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus has been traveling through the cities, ministering to the people. By the time we get to our point in text, we find that many would not receive of him. So then Jesus, in the middle of the chapter, chapter 11, begins to rebuke the cities, where he'd done so much work amongst them, and they should have turned. They should have come, but they didn't. But in the midst of doing that, his shepherd's heart comes out because the tone now changes. Pick it up in verse 25. Jesus begins to pray. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. What does Jesus thank the Father for here? For the way and to whom the Father chooses to reveal himself. Over in Luke's account, chapter 10, I believe it is, there's also an account of this exact same thing that Jesus says. But in Luke's account, it records something that is said only one time in Scripture. There's only one place in Scripture where it says Jesus rejoiced. What is it over, this statement? The Father, thank you for the way and to whom you've chosen to work. For whom you've chosen to reveal things to, it causes Jesus to rejoice. Think about that. The wise and the prudent here mean those who are just full of themselves. They are the prideful, the arrogant. They think they know so much. Remember, he is encountering rejection, especially from the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And the religious leaders will not believe He's upsetting the apple cart, so to speak, and they don't like it. They were so stuck in religion that they missed the opportunity for relationship with God. He says, but thank you that you've given them to babes. You're revealing this to those who, with childlike faith, would simply trust Jesus. See, it doesn't mean that God wasn't revealing himself to people. It means the wise and the prudent, the people who think they knew so much, they were missing out. But he was revealing himself to this other group, these babes. But now Jesus turns from speaking to the Father to speaking to the people. Verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. How important this declaration is. Jesus flat out declares that all things have been delivered to, committed to him. Further, that Jesus and the Father, they know each other. Now, the know here doesn't mean just intellectually know. It means that they have an intimate fellowship together. So Jesus declares that only he knows the Father. That is, only him and the ones to whom the Son reveals him. We cannot know God, the God of the Bible, without coming through Jesus. That's how the Father set it up. That's how he designed it. We must come through the work of the cross. We must have our sins dealt with if we're going to come to know the Father. But he wills to do that. And that gives the Lord joy. So, these verses before us I've just read declare the position and the power of Jesus, who he is in this whole thing, and the power that's been given to him, all things committed to him. And this is so important in light of what Jesus says next. They are our focus verses. But notice, there is no pause here. Right after saying, all things are committed to me, he then extends an invitation. Do you need to hear that today, afresh and anew? For here it is. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you weary this morning? Are you plain, flat out weary of soul this morning? Are you heavy laden? Are you carrying what God never intended for you to try to carry? And you are the worse for it. Do you relate to the example of that person I began with? This person weighed down as he tries to make his way or her way through life. Do you relate to that? You feel like, man, that was me. The pastor's been following me around all week. That pastor, I'm sure he must be spying on me because, man, am I burdened. Am I heavy laden? Then hear God's call to you this morning. Look at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites those who labor and are heavy laden. The New International Version puts it weary and burdened. That's the flavor there. That's the idea there. Whatever word you put upon it. Burned out of soul and spirit and tired. Beat down. Tired of trying to carry it all. What are some of the things that this labor and this heavy laden may represent? Well, first of all, know this. It's speaking about more than just physical fatigue after a hard day's work. We all often have days we go home and go, man, I'm beat. Just plop on the couch. I'm going to veg out. But this one is speaking more, for he's going to get to the point here where he says, because it's what? A rest for the soul that is needed, and it's a rest for the soul that only he gives. So it's speaking of just that, a fatigue, a weariness of soul, the real us that lives inside these bodies, that soul part of us, right? Who I really am. We get tired of trying to carry the load and the effects of this life upon us. It speaks of fatigue of the heart. It speaks of fatigue of the mind. There, of course, is the labor of unforgiven sin. Are you heavy laden with sin this morning and you haven't come to Jesus ever? Then know this. If we don't come and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, apply that work you did on the cross to my life. I turn, I repent, I confess my need, I receive. If we don't do that, then the weight of that sin will crush us for eternity, for it will keep us separated from Him. We must have that time when we come and repent and call upon Him. For others, though, perhaps you're in the trap of legalism. You fall into a legalism. You came by faith and you came in grace, but somehow through the years, you've fallen into a works thing. All of a sudden, the relationship now exists more of works and legalism than relationship. And you're carrying around this weight, this weight of legalism and all. Maybe you've picked up the brick of ritual and routine and religion and all of its negative aspects. And maybe you haven't even realized it, but you've fallen into formality and ritual. For some, maybe you are carrying the brick that's causing a fatigue of trying to earn God through your works. Never work. You weren't designed to do that. Maybe you are indeed born again. You're a Christian, you're a believer. And yet, truth is, still it's possible, very possible, to be a Christian and still know what this means when it speaks of weariness of soul. For life puts bricks on us all the time. And we buy into it and we try to carry them. And there are other things that come along. Perhaps you're laboring under the brick, the heavy load of unforgiveness towards someone. How can I forgive them? They don't deserve it. Not about that. You're the one paying the price now, and you're carrying around unforgiveness. Maybe you have just a lack of peace. The storms in your life have shaken your peace, and you're carrying around a brick marked turmoil and stress instead of peace. Or a thousand other things that could make up the bricks, the stones, the weights that we carry. Or try to carry. I could go on and on, but more to the point becomes this. What has you worn down today? Has life just flat out ground you to a nub? No matter what your load is, there's a call from God, an invitation. And what is it? Verse 28. Come to me. There's a cure for what really ails us. It's to come. But notice, it doesn't say, come to religion. It doesn't say, come to church. Did you come to church thinking church in itself would do it? If you only stop at coming to church and it's not a vehicle to come to Him and encounter Him and cast all your cares on Him, then you'll leave carrying the same load. That same heavy backpack of weights will still be there when you leave that you brought in here. He doesn't say, come to church. He doesn't say, come to religion. He doesn't say, come to rituals. He doesn't say, come to legalism. He doesn't say to come to good works. He doesn't say to come to Christian fellowship, Christian music, dress right. None of those things. We're going to do it. There's only one place of rest for our souls. Come to Jesus. Personal fellowship with Jesus. How do I come? Where is that place of rest for our souls? To come is to trust. That's what it means. To come is to trust completely upon Him. It's to cast all our cares upon Him. To trust our health issues and financial issues and everything else that make up these bricks, these weights that we're trying to carry. It's not enough to just intellectually believe, oh yes, I believe He can handle that. That doesn't get Him off of me. It's when I actually say, Lord, I trust You. I commit it to You. Do you need to do that today? So many bricks, so many weights, so many burdens. Oh, if I could sit down with each of you. I suspect if I began to ask, 9 out of 10 he would say, yeah. You put your finger on it in that one. There are so many things that we try to carry. Popularity, power, all those things. They get in the way. They will never give us the real rest we seek. It has to be a heart trust, not just an intellectual belief. But there's more, verse 29. For then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Jesus says, come, in verse 28. Then in verse 29, he invites us, take my yoke upon you. What in the world is a yoke? Most of us understand, but we don't grow up in kind of an agricultural type society, so let's make sure we all do understand the idea. A yoke, of course, was that thing in their day, carved out of wood. You'd put it upon the animal or a pair of animals, the oxen, the horses, whatever. And the yoke had two purposes. It was designed to help pull the plow, pull the load. And it was how you steer the oxen or the horses, for it had reins to it. So you could steer it as it pulled the plow or whatever. And so a yoke was a device in which you could be steered by and you would carry your load by. Take my yoke, Jesus invites you to do. The idea here is what? Become a disciple. Become a disciple. For he says, take my yoke and learn of me. Learn from me. Someone who learns this from someone, is that they're the disciple. He's the teacher. We're the student. Take my yoke and learn from me, Jesus called us. Now notice the steps. Come to me. Take. That's going to be our part. And learn. Learn how this thing works. And as you do, he says what? You'll find a rest. A deeper rest. When we come to Jesus, notice in verse 28, when we come, he says, I'll give you a rest. But he says, and if you take my yoke, you'll find rest. See, when we come to Jesus by faith, he gives us a rest. But then we take that next step of taking his yoke upon us and learning of him, we find rest. There's a rest he gives, which opens the door to finding rest, continual rest in all we go through. That's the deeper rest that only surrender and obedience can bring to us. But we are promised we will find it if we'll take his yoke. How does Jesus describe himself in our text? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Do you know this is the only place in the Bible where we read of a self-description? This is the only place where Jesus describes himself to us. And what words does he use to describe himself to us? What's he say about himself? Know this, he says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. See, Jesus is the King who came to serve, not to lord over. As the Messiah who washes feet, not to have his feet washed. He humbled himself, and he came in the form of man. He was submissive to the Father. He points to this about himself and then says, now, you learn this. Would you know rest for your soul? Then you learn this. Learn the blessings and deliverance and strength of submitting to him, of letting God be God and trusting him for each step. See, that's what we're to learn. In short, in his yoke, we learn to be like him. For we are called to be like Jesus, and that is the place of rest for our souls. And then verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you struggling with this whole idea? When the Lord said, come, you go, okay, that's cool, I'd come, cast my burden, get some rest, yeah, I can go for that. But what's this yoke stuff, man? Do you struggle with that idea? Verse 28 gives a rest. Then he says, put on his yoke. But notice this. He says his yoke in verse 30 is easy. It is pointed out by translators that the word easy there could be translated or rendered well-fitting. His yoke fits us well. And if the yoke doesn't fit well, then it's not from him. If the burden is heavy that you're carrying, he never put it there. You see, when they made these yokes for the animals, the carpenters would go out and they would look at the animal. And they would shape that wooden yoke to fit the animal so that it wouldn't chafe. It wouldn't cause harm to the animal. It fit that animal well so that it could pull its load and it could be steered. And when he comes along, he fits you perfectly. For he knows you, and he's out for your good, not out to just cause you chafing and blisters all day. But he has a place, a yoke, but it fits well is the idea. Meaning he has a place and a plan that fits exactly you, whether we understand it at the moment or not. Lord, why are you steering me left? Why are you steering it right? What are you doing? Trust me, says, I know what I'm doing. My yoke fits you just right. What an awesome promise and call. But remember again, if your burden is heavy, it's not from him. For he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are heavy laden, if you are, your burden is heavy, then you need to leave it in here today before you head out, because it's not what he has for you. Come to me. It was Jesus' cry that day, and it's his cry to us today. You thought you came in here with different things going on and whatever, but he sees our soul, our heart, and he says, come on. That weight you're trying to carry, it's not from me. It's in the way. I've got better for you. But it's time to leave it behind. It was their need in that day, and it's our need this day to come to him. So, what will be your response this morning? Not the other guy. You. What will you do about this call? Will you come to Jesus today? Will you come to Jesus what has you weary of soul? Will you quit trying to carry that issue, that relationship, that struggle? Will you do it today? He calls you. Come. Now, of course, it's available all the time. And we are to come. How do we come? How do we trust? We're to come through prayer. We come in our thought life. We bring those thoughts captive that would make us worry and buy into things that he doesn't want us to. We come in the trial and we come in the quiet times. We come 24/7, but we come to him. It's got to be him. Real, personal time. Fellowship with him. Walking with him. Don't settle for anything less than real relationship, real fellowship with Jesus. Come to me is the cry of Jesus. May he hear us respond, Lord, I come to you. Thank God for the call, come unto me. In all we face, there is one who bids us to come. He is our sure rest. How many have come to him since he said these words? How many down through the centuries have come to him? And time and again, every time, what do they find? That he's true to his word. How often have believers come that they might find real rest to their souls? Because each one who comes finds he's true to his word. This morning, I ask you, are you tired? Now get ready. Get ready because your invitation's coming. This is going to be response day. But I ask you to be honest with God. Are you tired? Are you tired of soul? What is your labor today? What is your heavy burden today? What's in the way between him and you? What's weighing you down? What are you trying to carry? What are you going to carry out of here that you brought in if you don't lay it down? Unforgiveness? Been trying to hold on to something, thinking you're punishing them when you're punishing yourself? Do you have resentment towards someone? Are you jealous? Wish I had what they had. Boy, they got a dealt a lot better hand than me. Look at their house, their car, their family, whatever you look at. Are you jealous? It's a weight, and it's ripping you off. What is your heavy burden today? Are you prejudiced? Pride got in the way? That's a brick. That's a load. Let it go. Maybe it's just the weariness of expectations that you had, that how you thought things were going to go, but you sit here and they've been dashed upon the rocks of reality. You thought life was going to go a certain way. You thought your marriage, your family, your education, your success, your business, your income, you fill in the blank. But you sit here and, man, it didn't go the way I thought. And so you sit here crushed under the weight of a failed expectation. Plans that you had, but they weren't His yoke for you. And He knows best. But you sit here crushed by it. You sit here crushed. You're trying to carry the weight of a friend that hurt you. And you're carrying it around, not realizing it's hurting you now. The wound, the hurt that was caused by them. You sit here under the weight of a marriage that didn't work out. And what a burden it can be. Guilt upon yourself, just all the things we struggle with. Again, maybe it's just the bone weariness that life lived out of fellowship with God can produce. Maybe it's that leanness of soul. You know, the Bible says that, talks about how there are those who came to the Lord and asked for something and He gave it, but He gave them leanness of soul with it. Because what they really said was, Lord, well, I want my own yoke, not yours. And He gave them their own yoke, but it produced leanness of soul. Maybe you just have leanness of soul today. Leanness of soul that came from lack of prayer, lack of time and fellowship with God. All those things can produce that. But we sit here weary, just plain weary of soul. The answer is right before us. Verse 28. Come to me, all you labor. You know, anybody, but I don't know if I mentioned this, the word all there, you know, if you study it, it means all. You. All. If you are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. I, Jesus says, will give you rest. Nothing else will do, but He will do it. So many struggle with and carry this weight of, you know, is it just going to work out? Will I meet the right person? The weights of just popularity and the emotional things we get into, and so many things. Come is the call. First of all, do you need to be saved from your sins? Have you never personally received Christ as Savior? You must come and receive Him. No one can do that for you. And no one can cleanse you of your sins but Him. But He will do it. Come to Jesus this morning. We're going to give that opportunity in just a moment. But believer, are you weary? Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? And I hit on some of the things. Maybe I didn't hit on your weight, your brick. And so you go, phew. He didn't name mine. As if somehow you're better off for that. As somehow you'd be better off by getting out. Oh, I got out of here with my brick. He didn't call my heavy weight out. I didn't have to lay it down. Oh, I escaped. No, you didn't. You lost. Let Him fill in the blank. We could spend all day doing that, but let Him show you. He lays His loving finger and says, lay that thing down. Is it time for you to lay down your brick, your weight? Come is the call. Repent if it needs to be. If that's part of it. Release it if that's what it's about. Cast it upon Him, meaning trust Him for it if that's what it's about. Have faith if that's what the need is. Whatever it means, lean on Him. Not on you, not on your efforts, but lean on Him, whatever it is. Now is your time to do it. I'm going to invite the worship team up because they're going to help us in this whole thing. The worship team, as you know, they come up at the end of our services and we spend some time worshiping because we want to have application time. God means it for real. We need to receive it as real. This morning, do you need to receive Christ as Savior? If you do, during these songs, there'll be about three songs before I'm back up here again. Somewhere during that time, if you've never received Jesus but want to, go right over here. That's Rudy sitting over here. On the corner, that's our prayer captain, and he'd love to talk to you and explain to you about it and pray with you to receive Jesus. Go for it. But for the rest of us, believers, is there something you need to lay down today? The call? Do it. And for some, it's going to help you. Come up front during these songs. And let this be the time that symbolizes by coming up front that you've left them here. You're going to leave them at the altar. You're going to leave that resentment, that anger, that unforgiveness, that guilt, that struggle, whatever it is. You're going to leave it here at the altar. You're not going to take it out the doors. The Lord will clean it up later. Just leave it here. So during these songs, do it. No, you don't have. It's not walking the carpet. It's giving it to Him. But for many, you need to have that point in which you point to that and do that. And remember, I gave it to Him. And I left it there so that you can't pick it up again. So I give you that opportunity. Cast your cares on Him during this time. Come up front here if you need to. But make sure you leave it with Jesus. Father, we lay our lives before You. And in Your love, You sent Your Son to pay the price. And Lord, we can almost just see Him standing there before the people, seeing the weights that they and we carry. You see the things that we've picked up and have been put upon us, and we're never designed to carry it. And so in love, we hear Jesus say, "Come to Me. Cast it on Me. Trust Me. Take My yoke. Learn of Me. Become a true follower of Me." Lord, let that be the work of the Holy Spirit right now in our lives. And may it all be to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we come as those who are weary pilgrims, Lord, so often just... Well, thank You. For You know what we carry around. You know we came in here with. You know the things that face us in our coming days. But thank You that there's a place, a refuge, a strength. Thank You, Father, we can come. You sent Your Son to pay the price, to draw us close, and to be that very one. So Lord, I pray for myself and each one here, Lord. May You find us day by day, moment by moment, coming, casting, trusting, leaning on You. And thank You that in Jesus we find that rest our hearts and souls so long for. Thank You. Father, for those who came down front this morning, Lord, help them leave it right here. Not to be picked up again. But not just those that came down front. As You worked amongst us in our seats where we stand, as You moved among this whole sanctuary today, thank You. Father, may You just find us a people who head out of here and travel this pilgrim's journey trusting in You, resting in You. And thank You that there's One who gives rest. All glory to You. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And as we've studied, so I just had the privilege to declare, may you indeed be found resting as you head out into all that our days hold. And remember, as His Word declares, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen.